I do sense there's something that God wants to do in individuals that will impact the whole. I really sense more than ever since last year, I think here from September, October, there was really a sense that God's doing something. I think since that meeting where Jonathan Stanfield was here, which is an apostolic voice, we recognized him as an apostolic voice into us. And just what he spoke, there was a resonance, there's a sense that this is the Lord for us, that he wants to break into us in such a powerful way that will really impact not only our community here, but also the nations. And we've got to understand that our service year is not the end. That's not what the ultimate aim is to have a great service year where God shows up. We want God to show up so that others might be impacted. We want this relationship to impact others around us. And if it only stays here, we're missing it. It's got to go through us and impact the lives of others. And so since the last time I preached, there was such a sense that the Lord gave me the picture of a fragrance, that he wants to spread the fragrance of Christ through us. We are the vessels, and he wants to spread it through us. And like I said, you know, you can, if you're in a shop and there's a smelly person, if that person left that aisle, you still have that smell for some time in that aisle. And there's something of the intensity of the smell has a greater impact. And I really believe part of what God is speaking about, the rain and a new page and all that, is to increase the intensity, there we go. The intensity of his smell so that he would really, that we'll spread the fragrance of him where we go in a greater way than ever before. We've got to realize that we've come to this point, and I think we are a great congregation. I really love our congregation. But I think there's so much more for us. And more is sometimes a vague thing, but I mean, what I'm saying with the more is more of the fragrance of Christ through us. I feel many of us are living life quite clamped in, and God wants to open us up a bit. I really do believe that. I believe some people that word about the rain, I believe there's people here that needed to respond that didn't respond. And when Russell spoke about it, it's important that we respond accurately to God. I believe that's so key for us. And I believe it's an area that God is wanting to teach us and grow us in, is how do we accurately respond to him. Amen. So this morning I've got somewhat of a prophetic message. So I'm going to deliver something. That's why I think also the intro is not probably a Kevin-like intro. It's more of a, I really do sense there's a prophetic flow, and I want to release that. And I believe that's key for us, that we respond accurately and that we walk into the more, you know, where the intensity of his smell is greater than ever before. Amen? So God, I pray, even as we sit now under your word, would you come and stir our hearts, God? That's what I want to do this morning. With a sense of the deposit that you've given me, I want to stir us into more, Lord. Where truly, where our lives have maybe been full of boundaries and limitations, would you break that this morning as your word goes out, God? We don't want to be a people that limit you. You are the great God. You're the great King. You're the great one. And we are here for a purpose, Lord, and we want to be those conduits. We want to be that vessel that will bring you glory, God. Those broken vessels, use us, God, and come and stir us. Where we need to be awoken, awake us this morning, God. Where we need to get hunger stirred in our hearts, come and increase our hunger, Lord. Where we just need to be encouraged, those of us that's been serving you for a long time, will you come and do something fresh this morning, a new page, Lord? And we just want to say yes, Lord, to what you want to do, God. We open our hearts. Come, God, and I pray that you'd cut into our hearts this morning. I pray that our hearts would burn as we hear you speak. Not me, but you speak, God. May our hearts burn within us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the picture I gave, I've got two pictures. Gregor, I'm going to put you on the spot with one of them. That piano thing I spoke to you last time. I'll guide you as we go. You know, you spoke about that uncharted waters that God wants. It's something like that. the prophetic two pictures that God gave me. The first prophetic picture was a very common picture, but I do believe there's something profound in it for us about a rock hitting the water, and as the rock hits the water, there's a ripple effect. And I felt God gave me that picture for us where we are in, is that he wants to increase the ripple effect that we have as a people and as a congregation. And I saw the picture of the rock. Now, obviously, the obvious thing about the rock is it's Christ. And I believe he's a great rock. He's a great one. And as he impacts us, that ripple effect will be great. And as that rock confronts the water, that's when the ripple effect starts. And I believe that God wants to come and confront us, each one of us, and corporately. He wants to come and confront areas in our lives. And as the rock hits it, there will be a great ripple effect. We can't give the people ourselves what we've got. Our good humanity, our good gifting, our good manners won't save someone else. It's Christ in us. And I believe that as Christ confronts areas in our lives, there will be more of Him, the picture of the fragrance again. There will be more of Him that ripples into our community and into the nations. So I want to encourage you, allow Christ to confront areas in your life. I want to run through a couple of areas that I believe Christ wants to come and confront. The great Christ the Rock wants to come and confront in our lives. The number of ripples is created by the size of the stone. And I really believe that you might feel your life is insignificant. You don't have a large area of influence. But I tell you, once Christ confronts you, once you get touched by God, it doesn't matter what you're able to do. When the Holy Spirit filled those disciples, that ripple effect was massive. So let's not limit God by our ability, but allow Him to confront areas in our lives. So I want to work through this passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians 10. I think you guys can just press it there for me. There we go. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 to 13. And it starts off, "For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and they had all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." And you get this picture, because obviously I went to go, look, what does the Bible say about Christ the Rock? And when I stumbled on this, there was something that resonated in my heart, that that's something that God wants to do, where many of us maybe have drunk a bit from the rock, but our life has been so stagnant. It's been so on a plateau. We've been serving God for a long time. We've been walked with Him. We're eating spiritual food. We see Him move. But our lives have become somewhat stagnant. And I believe God wants to stir us into more. You can go to the next one. "Now, these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did." Last couple of weeks, Russell spoke about sexual immorality. There's been a number of times the word spoken over in our church about idolatry. And although we don't have little statues here and little lazy big guys sitting on a whoopee and we're praying for that, or little rituals that we do, our idolatry is sometimes not as obvious. It's sometimes our children. It's sometimes our money. It's sometimes our schedule. It's sometimes our lives. It's sometimes our family. And we elevate these things above God, and that is idolatry. And so these things have been spoken over our congregation many times. And I believe God wants to get our attention to this and say, let's learn from this example. These Israelites walked with God. They saw God. You've got to realize that these guys were in Egypt as slaves. And then God takes them out and provides spiritual food, provides spiritual water for them, nourishes them, looks after them. And yet they still get distracted. And God says, learn from them. Don't make the same mistake. Be consumed by the rock. Be captivated by the rock. And here's the five areas I believe God wants to come and confront. Do not be idolaters as some of them were, as it is written. I believe God wants to come and confront areas of idolatry in our lives. I believe that that speaks about intimacy. So the area that God wants us to grow in and have a greater ripple effect is in the area of our intimacy, both in our homes and when we gather. Yeah, I believe God wants to come and confront us in powerful ways. And so I was just thinking of how God moved in my life and people around me. I've heard many testimonies. As a pastor, I've journeyed with many people. And the tricky thing is this morning, I'm going to repeat myself a couple of times because I'm going to kind of like run ahead and then I need to come back again. So bear with me, please. So I believe that as a church, in our walk with God, there's both the process component where you overcome and you beat your body into discipline and you serve God and you apply the scriptures. I believe we are extremely strong in that area. But then part of our faith walk is the power side as well, where we have the process and the power. And I believe God wants to increase that area in our lives where we allow Him to move in power in our lives. God spoke through Russ about the sexual immorality thing. One way we can overcome sexual immorality, if God maybe convicted an area in our lives, is to apply ourselves and apply the truth, apply Scripture, take every thought captive. There's a place where we can come before God and say, God, come and release me. Come and set me free. Come and touch me in a powerful way. We've seen this week someone that was prayed for by a couple of our leaders. And just as they had that prayer time, God came in and touched that person in such a profound way. Boom, set free. We need more of that. More of that where we open ourselves and say, God, come in power. We will apply the process because it's not one without the other. We will apply the truth in our lives. We will take thoughts captive. But we need the power of God to come and set us free in these instant moments. That thing with the rock, it's instant. It's an instant and boom, there's a ripple effect. And I believe God is wanting to do more suddenlies in our midst, in our personal walks and corporately. God wants to do more suddenlies. And that's where the uncomfortability comes in because it's uncharted waters. Many of us are not comfortable with that. But I believe God wants to move more in that area in us than ever before. I remember these times when I went to a corporate meeting where I just allowed God. I postured myself and I allowed God. And God did things in me. I remember it was a Sunday where I got a revelation of the love of God where I think I still had to preach crying and weeping and it was just a mess. But God came in that moment and showed me something that years of searching of Scripture and applying the truth would never have done. In that moment, boom. I remember my wife at an elders meeting a couple of years ago. There's just been things that she's been struggling with for years in a journey. And at the elders meeting, we were just praying. And the next moment, God showed that there's a Freemasonry somewhere in the past. We didn't know about that. We didn't, like, what? But through the manifestation that took place in that prayer time, it was obvious there was. And in an instant, God touched her in such a profound way that she's been different since that day. In an instant. The power of God. She tried the process. Faithfully tried the process. She still needs to continue applying the process. But there was this moment where God came in and transformed in a profound way. And I believe God wants to do that more than ever before in our lives. In our intimacy, when we gather here. You know these moments, someone sang about God ignite us. Di sang about it. I've learned through the years. I remember going to the church in Wellington, coming from an AFM background, and now I'm in this church which is wilder than what I was used to. And I was used to wild. And there was these wild prophetic things happening, and I was just like, I'm awkward, you know? It's like I'm struggling. And I never gave myself to it. But there was one day where I felt the tugging of the Lord, and I responded. I don't know what we did. I think we needed to drink water from a bucket. Someone felt prophetically that God wanted to come and quench our thirst. So they brought this massive bucket here with glasses, and you had to, in the worship, come and drink water. I'm like, What will that do? But it was in obedience, and there was something about stepping out. Stepping out, being vulnerable, and as people drank, God touched them in a profound way. Was it the water that was special? Not at all. But it was the posture of obedience, the posture of humility, the posture of responding to God. And in that openness, God came and did something profound in the lives of those people. I saw people that were always sitting at the back, just like, not that you guys, I know you've got babies there and things like that, so I'm not speaking to you. But people that didn't have babies and didn't have kids and didn't have reasons to sit at the back, sitting at the back and just, And then suddenly God touches them. They were faithful people, reading the Bible. Some of them can actually quote scriptures better than me. But this moment where the Spirit of God touched them and boom, their lives were different. I've heard testimonies here about people that experienced it in the same way. There was someone that was studying in Unreach community, one guy that was under asking to teach in accountability. Now that guy's been part of our church since, probably about a good 6-7 years. So being part of this church for 6-7 years, he's definitely heard something about accountability more than once. Eh? I mean, you would agree. So he's had many teachings about accountability. And yet, I think to his own testimony, he hasn't walked in accountability really. He didn't understand that. So he taught in it. Andre asked him to teach in it. He prepared. And in his preparation, God cut him so deep in that area, and he realized he needed it. So he publicly asked Andre, please keep me to account. I want to be accountable to you publicly. So everyone knew it in the community. It's like, yeah, we're gonna watch this. The very next week, something happened, and Andre had to contact him and say, hey, what happened there? What's going on? And when the guy got the message, his reaction wasn't, oh, this people, you know, it's like, where's the freedom here? Just cramping my style. His reaction was, wow. He felt so encouraged that someone was looking out for him. He suddenly tasted something of that truth. And boom, his life is different. He testifies differently about this topic than what happened there. It was a moment in God, in the Word, and the rock of Christ, the rock, confronted him. And it changed him. And it changed him. I believe God wants to create more moments like this, but our posture is crucial, and I'm going to get to that. Okay, the next one. Keep that scripture. Sorry, go back. There we go. The idolaters, the people sat down, eat and drink, got indulged. People sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ as some of them did. We were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. Just keep it there. So there's a couple of things I've just, for the sake of time, just going to, things identified there that I'm just going to highlight, areas that God wants to confront. Our doctrine, our belief system. Christ wants to come and confront that. We can't be ignorant of the fact that the enemy is not out there to deceive people. He is there. In Matthew, it says, even the elect, the church, will be deceived by these cunning preachers that will come and want to preach to you what your ears want to hear. We've got to be aware of it. There's guys that really, they look great. I mean, they've got the haircut, they've got the clothes, they've got the 10,000-seater church, and their message sounds great, but if I listen to it, and I'm like, it's not the gospel. All you're preaching is, there's a breakthrough for you. And everyone's like, ah, breakthrough, God, you are my ticket to my breakthrough. And that's not the gospel. He is enough. He is the one. And sometimes the breakthrough in the situation is our hearts shifting and us becoming more like Jesus and our circumstances staying the same. But we want to hear, hey, God's got a plan for me. What if God's plan for me is just to wash toilets and just to worship Him when we get together here? So we've got to be aware, we've got to make sure that more than ever, we've got to get in the Word and allow Christ, the truth, to confront us as we study the Word. The other one is our freedom, sexual purity, freedom from unforgiveness, anxiety, worry. God wants to bring freedom. It speaks about sexual immorality, and I just identified that Christ wants to confront us in areas where we're not free and set us free. Once again, I have no issue with medicine, but I think many of our depression and things that we struggle with is we're trying to sort it out with a process. But I believe for many, not all, for many, I trust for all, but I believe for many here today, the freedom is actually in posturing ourselves before God and say, God, I need you. Will you come and set me free? Once again, it's both. I just want to emphasize the one side. In our personal growth, our walk with God, it says there that we don't test Christ. It speaks about immaturity. God wants to come and confront immature areas of our lives. I agree with Russ. I've seen people here that serve God faithfully, and some are just community leaders, just out of the church. That elder, his confession doesn't make sense. I don't think I'll find another church like yours, but he's still left. It doesn't make sense because he's blinded. And we need to make sure we grow in the Lord in the area of a doctrine. And then the last area I believe God wants to kind of confront us is in the area of our fellowship with one another. That we love one another. I do believe we can grow in all these areas. Every single one of us. And when I create time for ministry, I believe we can all say, God, which area here do I need to be confronted in this morning? There's that woman with the issue of blood. She was struggling with it. She pushed through the crowd and she touched him. And Jesus said, power left me, and boom, she was healed. Instant. I believe there's going to be testimonies this year that we're going to hear much more suddenly, much more of this power encounters. We're still going to need to apply the truth and walk in the freedom that Christ has given us. But I believe we're going to see more of these testimonies. But we've got to posture ourselves to see it and hear it in our midst. Greg, can you quickly come? I'll be quick still. On the piano. This one, yeah. Are you familiar with this? Okay. So just you can maybe tone it down a little bit, thanks. And then Greg, I just want you to press a note softly, just very softly. Just softly. Just softly. Okay, now press it hard. So something, if you press a note, even on a piano, if you press it softly, sometimes you don't even hear the sound. But if that doesn't get pressed, you won't hear what's within. I believe as Christ confronts us, there was something of Him that will resonate and resound. But there's something I believe that some of us has been muted. Quickly muted. Can you play now? There's nothing. I believe some of us have been muted by the worries of life, by not finding freedom, by areas. And we're muted and there's no sound coming out. Not this, what's inside of us. You see, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit lives within you. And let's just, it's not the Holy Spirit. It's God that lives within us. God lives within us. Let that sink in for a moment. God of the universe resides within us. When we accept Him, He comes and He makes His home within us. And then He starts transforming us from the inside out. That is the best evangelism, if we just surrender and say, Lord, let it rip. But some of us has been muted, and I believe God wants to switch us on this morning. About the rain, it just links with that word about the rain. Refreshing, quickly unmuted. Press it, Greg, press it, just a note. So we're going to, you know, God wants to activate us. But the thing is, just press it a couple of times. That sounds great. You know, one person breaking through. You know, we're a church, we're a people. One person's breaking through. Two people breaking through. Now all of us breaking through. Go for it, Greg. All of us. Just play something. There's something as we all break through that the sound is just so much more beautiful. So as we love one another, as we break through in these areas, people will know that we are His disciples by our love for one another. There's something as all of us break through. And it's interesting that God speaks these words, these prophetic words, not just when we're alone at home, but when we gather corporately, because He wants to do something corporately in us. He wants all of us to break through, not just some, every single one of us. Yucca is a word that those that have been serving God faithfully for many years, God wants to come and do something fresh, just encourage you to keep on keeping on. And in a sense, I want to say not just keep on keeping on, but stepping into the more. And keeping on in the more, advancing. God wants all of us to break through. And how are we going to make sure? How do we posture ourselves? There's a scripture that speaks about in Jeremiah 2, you can put it up there, that Israel committed an evil where they dug cisterns to get water, and they neglected the living source of water. I think it's one of the scriptures there. You can put it up when you're ready. And they neglected the living source of water. But they relied, the issue was there that they depended on a man-made system. And as I'm encouraging us that the process is not evil by itself, but we can't be dependent on our process, our battle plan. A battle plan is needed, but our dependency must be on the living water, must be on God. So how do we posture ourselves? I believe our posture should be that of knowing that we're coming to a living God and we need Him more than the process. In the last days, there will be people that have a form of godliness but deny the power. Maybe not look the part, but have the power. You know, I've seen how sometimes you can bring a testimony of how God delivered you, set you free, or did something in your life. And that has such an impact on the hearers. Such an impact. You know, if you start sharing a testimony, sharing the gospel, and you can share a testimony with it, that person's like, can't refute it. It happened to you. And they've got to confront. They are then confronted with a rock. They are then confronted with a rock. I'm going to end with this about postures, and I'm ending with a posture. There was a, and before I want to mention three ways that we posture ourselves, I want to look at someone that's posture wasn't right and he missed out on something. Because posture is crucial. A wrong posture can cause you to miss out on something. So Zechariah, John the Baptist's dad, him and his wife, they were advanced in years. I don't know what that meant, but they were advanced. And I think they were, for years, they didn't have a child. They were barren. And Zechariah the priest, he was praying. He was contending. In a sense, that was his posture, you know? It's like, God, you come through. You come through. And nothing happened. And eventually, one day, an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, you will have a child. You will call him John. His posture wasn't ready at that moment. And he said, can you give me a sign? You know, how do I know this is real? You know, there's an angel in front of me. I'm not getting that cue, you know. It's like, God, if this is really you, you know, if this is angel in front of me, God, missed something. His posture wasn't ready. And the angel said, because, I'm rephrasing, your posture wasn't ready. You didn't have faith. You will now be muted until that day. His posture wasn't ready. He was praying and praying. He's praying, but he wasn't ready for the answered prayer. He was desiring it, but when God came, because you know, God sometimes waits a bit. But when it suddenly came, his posture wasn't ready. Posture is crucial. We see it throughout Scripture, where the Israelites, God's leaders, God's people, their posture wasn't ready. They missed out on the fullness of what God had for them. Posture is crucial. So how do we posture ourselves for the suddenness? How do we posture ourselves that the rock, Christ the rock, can come and confront us? The first way we posture ourselves is hunger. Hunger, expectancy. When we're in our room, you know what? I've seen marriages struggle. Marriages struggle in the church through many years. And normally the first question I ask is to the individuals. How's your time with the Lord? How's your relationship with the Lord? Oh, not good, not good. So one of the common denominators to struggling godly marriage is that the time with the Lord is not good. So you're not going to see Christ come into that moment if your posture is not expectant, if your posture is not hungry, if your posture is not humility. So if you create space in your own quiet time, sometimes it feels like nothing's happening. But that continual posture, God, I'm hungry for you. God will come. God's attracted to that. I don't know why there's a time of waiting. I've experienced in my life the times of waiting. It develops something of Christ in you. It works in your character. But the question is not about understanding. The question is about posture. So understanding is not going to cause us to see God move. It's our posture. Posture of hunger. Posture of expectation. So that's the first posture. Posture of hunger. Even when we gather here, when there's a prophetic word, I want to encourage, have a posture. If it says, God, ignite me, don't spectate. Run or just stand there and say, God, I'm going to be like that woman with the issue of blood. I'm going to say, God, ignite me. I don't fully understand how it works. I still don't. You know, if we've got a bucket of water here and we say, those of you who are thirsty, it should be all of us. Because he's infinitely great. All of us should run, even if you feel you're wet. Rather run and say, God, tell you, you're okay. But just run. There's something of a responding and hunger. Where's the prophetic word of those that once reign? You know, a prophetic word like that should almost be in all of us. All of us. And I know there's sometimes where God really speaks and we are okay. But you know, a hungry person is like, where can I respond? You're not like, let me see. It's like, you're hungry, expectant. You desire. The second way of posturing is surrender. Surrender, surrender, surrender. Last while, I shared at Christmas service about the pastor, Romanian pastor visiting American church, and the American pastor asked him, how's our church? And the Romanian pastor said, you know, there's a lot of commitment here, but I see very little surrender. The thing about commitment is we're still in control. In surrender, we don't have control. And I believe God is calling us more than ever to relinquish control. How do we see Christ the rock in front of us? How do we see God suddenly? We need to surrender and live that surrender. When it's our finances, our family life, the way we approach work. I believe some of us, even business decision, we need to say, Christ, come. God, come. Show me. Holy Spirit, come and guide me. Lead me. And not rely on our own systems. And I know maybe over-spiritualizing something like work or business or things like that, but we've got to pull in God into those areas. We've got to and say, God, come and confront this area. And then we go. We just got to, Scripture says, do not lean on your own understanding, but acknowledge Him in some of your ways. Church ways. All, every single way. Surrender. Acknowledge Him in all our ways. And so the third posture is a posture of faith. A posture of faith. Zechariah didn't have faith in that moment. Sometimes we say, God, I want this. I want this. I'm hungry. I'm surrendered. But I'm struggling to believe. Help my unbelief. But I want you to come and confront me. I want you to come and touch me. I want you to come and rain on me like never before. So this morning, I want to stir us that we be hungry, open, for God to come and move. I believe for some of us here this morning, there will be a suddenly here. Some of us might not. Let's keep that posture, hunger, surrender.